right, y'all ready to get in the Word of God this morning? We're going to finish out this series like you mean it. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to read Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. We've been reading this verse throughout the series, and we're going to close out with it, Acts 2, 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. It all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we can come and gather into your house with your people and open up the Word of God so that we might hear your voice today. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to see what was going on in this first church and help us to live our faith out like we mean it with our whole heart, God. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear today. I do understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your Word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So as we close out this series, like you mean it, we're looking at Acts 2:42 in the first church, a seven expressions of faith that they were actively engaged in. And we're going to see a key word all right from the very beginning in this that is a key to the effectiveness of how to live our faith out like we mean it. So look at verse 42, and it says, and they devoted themselves. Let's just stop right there. Let's underline that word devoted. If you have your Bible out, I'd underline that word devoted. If you're taking notes, I'd put down, I'd write the word devoted. When you hear the word devoted, what comes to mind? Commitment, devotion. Right? That they are devoted, that they're in this, right? Have you ever played on a team? If you've ever been part of a sports team or a group or been part of something that took everyone to do it, those who are committed and devoted to the cause or to the team, they're the ones that help and bless more than anybody else, right? When you're committed, when you put your heart into it, when you're there, when you show up for practice, when you do the drills, when you're doing it, when you're doing with all you've got, when you're devoted, man, it makes a difference. Some of you played on teams with people that was just, their heart was halfway in it, you know. May show up to practice, they may not. They're running lines and not touching the line or kind of out playing, you know, and all of a sudden, sometimes maybe you've done this, maybe you've experienced this yourself, and maybe you've been out doing something, playing something, and the coach has said, your heart's not in it. Come on. Put your heart into it. And I wonder how many times that if the Lord were to look at us and watching us as we live out our faith and as we go to serve and follow and worship and do all these seven, if the Lord might not say, hey, come on, your heart's not in it. Let's go. Are we going to worship like we mean it? Are we going to serve? Are we going to engage our faith and do it like we mean it? And so these early disciples, they were devoted and committed to certain activities. They devoted themselves first to the apostles' teaching. What is this? They're committed to learning. They are committed and devoted that they are going to learn what God says. Now, they had Old Testament scrolls, and they would read that. They would meet in the temples. They'd hear they heard teachings of the Old Testament. The apostles could give them teachings from the Old Testament. But what else did they learn? What was the apostles' teaching? They didn't have the New Testament. It wasn't written yet. It was in the process of going to be written. You know, John is going to write John, and Matthew, and Mark, and all that. But at the time, they had the apostles' teaching. Well, what were the apostles' teaching? Well, the 12 apostles. There was 12, you know, Judas denied Jesus, killed himself, and they replaced Judas with another apostle who was an eyewitness to Jesus, saw Jesus, heard Jesus teach, was a witness of his resurrection. These 12 apostles had witnessed the life of Jesus, had heard the teachings of Jesus, and also after the resurrection of Jesus, he lived on the earth. He walked among the earth for 40 days, and in that time, he gathered his disciples together, and he opened up their minds, and he taught them the truth. And the teaching of the apostles was the teaching of Jesus. So the apostles were teaching the first church what Jesus wanted them to do. And so when we come to learn, the thing that we're wanting to learn is, what does Jesus want me to do? As a Christian, I ask, what is it that Jesus wants me to do? How does he want me to think? How does he want me to live? What is it that he wants my life to be about? And so we believe that the Bible is the best way to hear God's voice. And so we have the Word of God. We have the teaching of the apostles. We have our New Testament. This tells us about the life of Jesus, how he lived, how he taught, what he called us to do. And so if we want to hear the voice of God, we have to open up God's Word. So we believe that on Sunday morning, it's best to, when we preach, to actually open up God's Word and preach from God's Word. We believe the Bible is what people need to read. You need to be reading your Bible. Are you reading the Bible like you mean it? I mean, I know many of us have a Bible, but do we read the Bible? Because, I hear people say this. Well, I just wish God would speak. You know, I just wish he would speak to me. If God would just speak to me, then I would hear. If God would just speak. Did you see that? You missed it. Some of you missed it. You ready? I'll do it again. I'll do it in slow motion this time. You ready? If God would just speak. You see that? Every time you open up the Word of God, you hear the voice of God. For all Scripture is breathed out by God, is God breathed. It's the very words of God that he wants to communicate to us. And if we want to hear and know what God wants from us and for us, we got to read the Bible. When we come to church on Sunday, are you excited to learn? Do you come thinking, man, I can't wait because I know I'm going to hear a preaching of God's Word. The Word's going to be open and God's going to speak to me and he's going to say something to me and I better write that down. Do you come with the anticipation that God, you're going to learn something today? Or do you come in and you're like, well, here we go. It's Sunday again. Better go to church. I know God's watching. And so I go into church and throw up a wave to heaven, you know, like, hey, make sure you check me in, you know, put a star by my name, and I'm here. Or do you come saying, Lord, what do you want me to learn today? What do you have for me today? Would you open up your Word to me today, and may I hear it? Am I going to learn like I mean it? Not only were they devoted to the apostles' teaching, but to the fellowship. What is that? That's to belonging. They realized that they were now the body of Christ. They were on the same team, Team Jesus, and they served together, loved together, lived together, and they did life together, and they were one, and they really did care for one another, and they belonged with each other. It meant something to be a part of something greater than themselves, and they realized they are the body of Christ, they're the family of God, they're brothers and sisters in Christ, and they are going to fellowship and belong with one another. They loved each other. And their love was so pure and genuine that the outside world saw that and said, I'd like to have some of that. The world is looking for genuine faith. Lost people, they don't care how big the church is. They don't care what stuff goes. They want to know, is there true, genuine love and faith and truth? Are they real? Are they real? Are they genuine? Are they authentic? Do they really believe what they preach? Do they actually get along? You know, it's sad that a lot of churches, they don't get along. Fight with one another, bicker with one another, complain about one another, talk about one another, blog about each other, you know? And they fight. And there's no unity. It's all division. And the world looks at that and says, if that's love, I don't want it. If that's what it means to be a Christ follower, I don't want that. We're on the same team. We belong together. We come together on Sundays to encourage and lift one another up. Do you realize that? Hebrews says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves, as some of you are in the habit of doing. But instead, when you come together, it says to intentionally think and to stimulate one another to good deeds. to encourage one another to good deeds. You realize that we're supposed to encourage one another? We're supposed to lift one another up? You see someone down, depressed, you go over to them and say, hey, how can I pray for you? That we are a body and that when one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoices. We all rejoice and we're here. We are a family and we're a body and we need to come in here. We cry together sometimes. We laugh together. We embrace each other. We encourage one another. Hey, you'll get through this. God is good. It may not look like it now. You may be going through a storm. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Hey, you'll get through this. You'll make it. We need those words of encouragement. And where does that come from? It comes from our family. It comes from our brothers and sisters in Christ. It comes from when we gather together. We're to look for ways to encourage someone. When you come here to church, you got to make sure you try to encourage somebody. Meet somebody. Talk to somebody. You know? Well, I tell you what, I don't know. The church is so big. I don't know everybody at Living Water Church. I went to Walmart the other day and I asked somebody to come to church. And they asked me to come to church. We both invited each other to Living Water Church. Didn't even know who they were. That's okay, because there's a bond that is here. Go, love, gather. That's our catchphrase, right? We know that. Go, love, gather. It's a bond. When you see another brother and sister out in Christ, it doesn't matter. It can be from a different church, too. We're part of the same family. We should love one another, care for one another, encourage one another, lift one another up. They were devoted to the fellowship. It meant something. Okay. Does it mean something to you to be part of a church? You see, when you're saved, you're automatically part of the invisible church. But then God calls us to be part of a local church body. It doesn't have to be this church body, but it needs to be a church body. There needs to be a group of believers that you identify with and say, you know what, these are folks that I'm going to do life with, and we're going to be here for one another. Okay? If you've been coming for a while and you've never taken the membership class, man, y'all think about that. So just sitting every Sunday and coming to get more fully engaged. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. Now, what's that refer to? Breaking bread. Well, it could refer to communion. It could refer to a time of communion where they're celebrating. Why? Because they were celebrating a new God. It was a whole new paradigm shift, right? They were worshiping Jesus as Lord. You see, the Jewish religious elite, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they denied that Jesus was the Messiah. And so the Jewish faith rejected Jesus. The Romans had their own religion, had multiple gods. And here were these group of Christians that were made up, and they believed that this man named Jesus was the Messiah that they were longing to come, and that he, in fact, is Lord. That they saw him crucified on a cross, placed in a borrowed tomb, and he rose again on the third day, and then they became thoroughly convinced that this Jesus was indeed the risen Lord. And so when they broke bread and they broke the bread, they remembered that this represents his body. When they drank wine, they recognized this is the blood of Christ. And they were determined that they were going to worship Jesus Christ as King. They worshiped like they meant it. And they were going to serve him and serve him faithfully. It would get them in trouble. It'd get them in trouble with the Jewish religious leaders. Ultimately, it's going to get the church in trouble with the Roman Empire. But they're convinced that when they meet together, that the presence of Christ is among them. Because Jesus taught them, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. And they were there to worship Jesus as Lord. That's why we as Living Water Church, when we come together, guess what? We worship Jesus as Lord. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do we worship like we mean it? Do we come in? Are we excited? You know, just like being excited to hear from God's word and learn something from him. Are we excited to express our thanks to him? to praise, to sing? Are we like David when he said, let us rejoice, when he said, let us go into the house of the Lord? You get up and you're like, man, we're going to sing praises to him. And we're going to sing, and it's going to be loud. Amen. I'm glad of that, so that I can sing. Because if you could hear me sing, then you wouldn't worship. You would laugh. Because the Bible says make a joyful noise. And the only thing I can make is a noise. So it's going to be loud enough so that even I can sing. And whether I lift my hands or not, my heart is lifted in worship and devotion to saying, Lord, I praise you for your great salvation and what you have done for me. Do we worship like we mean it? Do we come here recognizing and knowing that we come together as the people of God to worship the one true living God? They were devoted, committed to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to what? And the prayers. And the prayers. They were a praying people. They prayed. Let me ask you, how's your prayer life? Do you pray? Do you have a quiet time with God? I'm not talking about just praying when you eat your meals. I mean, that's good. We ought to pray when we eat our meals. But if that's your prayer life, if your prayer life is just praying over your meals, your walk with Christ will not be as sharp and strong and grow like it needs to grow. Let me ask you this. If you want to destroy a relationship, what's one thing you can do to kill it? Stop talking to it. Stop talking. You want to distance yourself from someone? You stop communicating. Marriages fall apart often when couples stop communicating. They stop talking to one another. They live with one another, but they don't talk with one another. It's, hey, how are you? Hey, you got the kid? Yeah. Good night. Bye. See you. And if you stop communicating and you stop talking to someone, that relationship will be impacted in a negative way. Same way with our relationship with God. If we want to grow in our relationship with the Lord, we have to spend time talking to him. We got to spend time praying to him. And so we have a quiet time. We have a time of devotion. Whether it be 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you need to have a time when you get alone with God at some point throughout the day. If you can do it in the morning, great, but find some time to spend with God, open up his word, and say, Lord, what do you want me to know about you? What do you want me to learn about you, who you are? What do I need to learn about you? What do I need to learn about myself, so things that I need to change, things I need to obey, what I need to do? And let me hear from you, and let me confess my sin, let me lift my praise, let me lift my concern, let me reveal my heart, and just talk to God. You're his child. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from his kids. And many of us were like, our relationship with God is not strong because we never spend time talking to him. So how's your prayer life? Are you praying like you mean it? Look at verse 43. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. There's amazing things being done in their midst because of their devotion and commitment to the Lord. What happens when a people are together and devoted to the Lord? Great things happen. We used to have this little phrase that we started at the very beginning of the church, year one. We would say, when God's people do God's will, God's way, God things happen. When God's people will do God's will, God's way, God things happen. And when you come together as a church and you do God's will, God's way, look at what happens. We're seeing God's movement this year. You know that, don't you? You see that? It's one of the best years we've had. Okay? God's hand. Just think what happens when we step that up even to the next level. And we all, not just some of us, when we all actively engage, not just one purpose, not just two purposes, not just three of them, but all seven. what could happen. And all came upon them. Look at verse 44. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. They were serving one another. Serving. They had a servanthood mentality that we're here to help one another. Not take advantage of one another, but help one another. They were serving. What else were they doing? Verse 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They were a giving church. They were a giving church. Pastor John preached about that last week. Thought he'd done a great job about the giving. That we're a giving people. That when we are called into God's kingdom, we're called to be a generous people. We're called to be a giving people. And they were generous. And look at what happened. Look what happened when they were actively engaged in these. Look at verse 46. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now watch what happened. And the Lord added to their number, what? Day by day, those who were being saved. What was the result of their community, of their genuine faith? What was the result of them living out their faith like they meant it? People were being saved daily. Wow. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing? We see people saved monthly. We see people saved weekly. But not daily. We haven't seen that yet as a church. That'd be amazing. Why? Why was the power of God released? Because they were living out their faith like they meant it. They were doing all the seven. They were a welcoming people, an inviting people, a sharing people, a giving people, a worshiping people, a learning people, a praying people. Belonging together. Now, our way of life is different than their way of life in some respect, right? Because it says day by day they were meeting together and eating with one another from house to house. They were eating meals together every day. They were more of an agricultural community, right? So we're not. We have cars. They walked. And so their area of travel was limited, right? We go to Lexington like it's nothing. Zoom, 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 right? Back and forth. We're busy. We don't eat in homes together, right? We don't eat in each other's homes very much. We hardly ever eat in our home, right? I mean, most of us, we do well if we have a meal in our home. And it's a different way. But where are our gathering places? Because I would argue that we still meet together pretty much daily. We see each other daily. Many of us see each other daily. You know where we see each other daily? At the ball fields. On the soccer fields. In the gym. At Walmart. Kroger. Dollar Tree. School events. We see each other every day. We coach little Parks and Recs leagues and all this stuff, and we have parents, and what would it be like? Now, let's just imagine with me. Imagine what it would look like if we all lived in those moments like we mean it, our faith. What if we went to the games, and when we saw our brothers and sisters in Christ, we had true fellowship. We're like, hey, man, we're glad that that we see each other and that we talk to one another and that we're laughing and joking, cut up, and we're enjoying the game and we're not yelling and fussing at the ref blowing the call. We're just excited, cheering the game on. We're not, you know, saying crazy stuff. But we actually are having fellowship, and we can watch a game, and people are looking at us and going, I didn't know you could enjoy a game that way, because I thought you were supposed to act like a nut when you went to a game. Right? You know, we go wear our shirts. Big Living Water Church shirt. Sometimes I regret that we ever made shirts. We have a guy, Big Living Water shirt. after a football game, he's pretty upset. Went and cussed the coach out with a big LWC shirt on. I'm thinking, Lord, what? Point of that story is if you're going to cuss somebody out, don't wear our shirt. Just kidding. Don't cuss somebody out. Don't cuss a coach out. Don't cuss the refs out. You know? My wife checked me the other day. She rebukes me every once in a while. I have a little fourth and fifth grade girls team, you know, and I'm all keyed up, you know, because I've got defenses to teach and offenses to run. And we go play this game, and I'm like, I thought we was going to win, and we ain't winning. And I'm like, and I'm doing all this stuff, and I get them over to the side. She goes, Grant, she goes, you're going to miss it. She goes, you're going to miss the purpose of why you have this team. You tell everybody at church you're supposed to be using this as a way to witness and stuff, and you need to invest in these girls. I'm like, you got me. You got me. Because sometimes I think we can miss what we're really here for. Right? It's great if we can win games. It's great if we can be involved in that kind of stuff. But don't miss the relationships with the people that you're around and the impact that you can make with that mom, with that dad, with that little kid. And pour into them something greater and something higher than just what this world offers. Pour into them the truth of who Jesus is so that they can come to know him and be saved and go to heaven and be with him forever. What do you think? If we did that like we mean it everywhere we go, we lived our faith in a genuine way, man, what could happen? What could happen if we became a generous giving church? Now, we are a generous church, and I want to thank you for that. You give. We do a lot of stuff. We give. In the first quarter of the church, we had a 90-day tithe challenge. I'm telling you, it's like, whew, y'all stepped up to that. Y'all took that serious. That is the best giving we've ever seen. It was like, whoop, whoa. Next quarter, is here. It's still good here. Next quarter, still better than last year, but still, you know, thinking what would happen if we ended the year like we started the year in giving. I'll tell you something. Our finance team, our giving team, they are frugal with how they handle money, and they make a stretch for a long time. Because we got some things we'd like to do. There's one thing that I'd like to do here soon, sooner than later, let me say that. Have you ever drove by our church and you notice the outside and you're like, yeah. It's like, eh. And then you walk in and you're like, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah, see? We have that happen a lot. Eh. Wouldn't it be nice to have an outside look of the church that was as welcoming as what the inside is? Right? We have people that don't know how to get in the church. I've had people come and say, I didn't know what door to go into. I don't know what to do. I saw one door that said, exit only. I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, sorry. We're working on that. The cafe. Wouldn't it be nice to have a bigger cafe with a real kitchen in it? Huh? How about that? When Pastor John was preaching last week, because I'm not able to really go out and do a lot of stuff on Sundays that I'm preaching, so that set in the first service and the second service, I was kind of going around and seeing how things work, how things do. You know, people sitting in the floor eating breakfast. I was like, what? Now, wouldn't it be great to have a little bigger seating area? Guess what? When we really give like we mean it, we get that. We build that. We fix the front like that. And guess what? We'll pay this building off. I mean, we all have to be debt-free. That'd be awesome. Be debt-free. Pay this building off. Guess what? It won't take years. If the way that we manage money here, it won't take us years to do that. Not years and years. It'll take us just a few. Very few. If we all gave like we mean it. If we all invited like we mean it. the service would be completely full. Second service would be completely full. First service would be completely full. What if we prayed like we mean it? You'd walk in this place and you'd be like, whoa. The presence of God is here already. Worship. I mean, I'm saying, we're seeing God move, but we ain't seeing day by day saved yet. I'd love to see that. What about you? Whoa. I don't know. I've never personally been a part of that. Maybe you've been a part of a church where 365 people got saved in 1 year. I've not seen it. What would happen in Montgomery County if 365 people in 1 year gave their life to Jesus? Woo! Man, what amazing things. I better stop or I'm going to preach again. I'm going to stop myself now and we're going to go to the Lord and we're going to say, Lord, whatever you want to reveal in my heart today, would you reveal it? What areas am I weak in? Because we don't want you just to do 3 of the 7. We want you to do all the 7. We want to be engaged in all the 7, all the 7, all 7, all 7. How many? All 7. Not just 1 or 3. Not, hey, I got 4 out of 7. I'm pretty good. No, all 7. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. As we have this time of invitation, Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Lord, if there's something that you've revealed in our hearts, something that you're convicting us over, that right now at this time, as we come to worship you and sing, that we could just come to the altar and just have a time of prayer. Lord, maybe we haven't been praying to you like we know we should, and this would be a good time to get started. Lord, maybe we got somebody that's a friend, a family member that we know does not know you, and they need to be saved, and we come, and we pray for their salvation. Lord, whatever it is that you're speaking to our heart, maybe someone here today, they need to trust you as Lord. They need to say, I need to give my life to Christ. So whatever you're moving the hearts of your people right now, may we be obedient to you. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing, let's pray, let's respond. Mm-hmm.